views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Live an enlightened and authentic life by standing in your own power. The Dr. Bree Show, The Goddess Emergence, brings forth new information supporting the ascension process happening on the planet now. Learn the true meaning of the word goddess and why each and every one of us is a divine being. Dr. Bree travels multiple worlds, bringing through the unknown ancient knowledge and messages to help you remember who you truly are and live life with truth, trust, and passion. Now, here's your host, Dr. Bree Gibbs.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm back. When I left in April, I told you all that I would remember you and that I'd be back in one day. I went on a new journey and opened the Healing Center, and it's the most amazing thing because I didn't know when I'd come back. And now we're back, and I have a really special guest that I've admired for the last 5 years, Teresa Carroll. And Teresa Carroll wrote this really amazing book on how to be a paranormal investigator. So I want to talk to you about this, but there's a lot of things that we don't know about her. So like, for one thing, intuitive counselor, ordained minister, certified in BEST practitioner, retired Washington State counselor. There are so much things. And then she writes this amazing book, All Spooked Up, and How to Spook Yourself Up. Hi, Teresa, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for that. Yes, it's always good to spend time with you, Bree.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about what made you write this book.
Quite honestly, I was kind of a little, I don't even know the word for it. It wasn't annoyed. It was bordered on just disappointed with some of my associates for the way they approached spiritual things and how they would be very professional with dealing with their clients, very nurturing, very supportive, and then they'd go into somebody's haunted house and run around like hotshots screaming and carrying on. And it was like, whoa, where did the professionalism go? And ghosts are people too, unless they're animals. And so what happened? Why did ghost busting, as they termed it, become such an insensitive, hotshot, juvenile pursuit? And because, you know, you're dealing with people, when you're called out on a ghost investigation, you're called out with people who are normally being traumatized by the situation and people who have felt like, you know, their life is out of control and there's things that they don't know. And we all know from motion pictures, it's what we don't know that's scarier than what we know.
True.
You're watching it and it's like, oh, you're horrified. Then you find out it's an alligator. It's like, oh, I'm going to Washington State until you catch this thing. And
Right. Well, what you're saying is very true. There's a lot of shows on TV that where they advertise, you know, and make them angry, the ghost and spirit, whatever you want to call them. And that really upsets me because we don't know why they're earthbound, you know, and why they stayed. And we're here to help create the light for them and help release them. How do you do that?
Well, I think, you know, just to go to the side a little bit here is not every situation is a ghost. In fact, you can almost always find a ghost within any square mile, but you'll also find that most of the situations where there is actually a ghost involved, it's important to recognize there are different ways to approach it and to find out what's going on, why it's occurring, and then deal it one-on-one versus having a pat answer of next. an example being, if you have somebody who's a suicide, they need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Continue their life. And whether you can understand that or not, sometimes it's just more to communicate with them, be respectful of them, than try to release them.
Right.
If it's an entity that has not gone to the light or is afraid because of something they've done in their life that they're going to be damned or
right.
religious trauma, mm-hmm. Then maybe doing some actual counseling and helping show them what's on the other side and then moving them through. It just kind of depends on each situation. And, you know, if it's a loose gutter, then it's about getting some screws and tacking it back on or getting a carpenter out.
Wow. It's amazing how some people take advantage of the spirit that's there also, where they try to use them to gain their own knowledge, you know, to share with others. And I look at that because I have one in my home, and she came there for a very special reason, and she's staying, and I understand why. But, you know, I let her just be and do her thing, and when she wants to talk to me, she'll talk to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's important to realize that they are really suffering, and so it is nice to free them up. But the question comes to mind not so much of why are they there, but why, if they've been there for so long, mm-hmm. have we suddenly noticed that? What's going on with us?
Right. And, you know, I read something that you had written. Can't see this book. I think it's Teresa. I have Teresa sitting here helping me. I'm going to 121 on your book that you have, Release and It Goes. What is the best way for someone to do this? How is the best way?
Well, first of all, a ghost doesn't know they're dead. And
correct.
I think it's important to state that only about 3-5% of people that die actually become ghosts. So it's not like every single individual that dies is a ghost. A ghost is what we call a fractured spirit. It's an individual who their higher conscious mind, their conscious rational reasoning mind, have moved on and left behind the subconscious mind, which is the memory. And the memory is just like an old video playing over and over, just doing what it does on a daily level. So it's not going to have the intelligence to understand that it is dead. It's only going to have the intelligence to do what it's always done. So if they're talking to you, they may be projecting on you a totally different person. Say you have a Native American person who died in 1870, mm-hmm. they're not seeing you today as you are. They're seeing maybe their mother, their sister, their auntie. And so they're projecting on you the qualities of that individual. So you have to appeal to them in the level that you would a friend or a family member. And normally I just say, oh, someone's calling you. And normally they will look around, and in that moment, someone on the other side, normally a family member or a spiritual helper, will catch their attention and just pull them on through into the light. And they just go over, and people can witness this. And a lot of people who aren't psychic per se will see a spark of light, or they'll feel a lightness or a brightness. And most of us who are intuitive will actually see kind of an opening and then them passing through. So there's an actual, oh, I don't know if you'd say it's intuitive or if it's somewhat sensitive feeling when they actually pass through. But that's the easiest way. It doesn't work if somebody's hiding from the law or around. They're thinking, oh, they're coming to get me. I'm dead.
Right.
They'll run and hide. And this is ghosts, because mm-hmm. someone who is an entity, mm-hmm. and entities are profoundly linked with drug and alcohol.
That was another question I have for you.
They're normally not ready to go to the light. they normally don't want to be dead, so they attach themselves to other alcoholics or other drug users and try to live their life vicariously, or even push the other person aside and try to take over their life. Now, it's not really possession, but it can become a big depression. It can lead to excessive drinking and drugging. It can lead to the person showing behaviors they never showed when they were unattached, so to speak.
So what if, I don't mean to interrupt you, I have a really important question. What if somebody has a child living in their house and the child is using, let's say, marijuana? How does it affect the rest of the family?
Well, I think as far as spiritually, there's a sense that we, when we are kind of stoned, so to speak, and
right,
let's say, you know, secondhand smoke can affect people if they're smoking.
Right.
What happens is our conscious mind kind of numbs down, and that's when we go into this back part of our brain, the limbic brain.
Right.
We often will go into fight or flight, and so often we'll feel hyped up and we'll start noticing things that already exist, but we don't see because we're spending too much time with the real world. But as soon as that affect happens, that mm-hmm. because of the chemical reaction, then we start noticing movements, shimmers, pops, lights, all sorts of things. And many of them aren't even ghosts. Many of them are natural occurring spiritual phenomena. And if we don't know what it is, or we don't have some form of religious faith that gives us a sense of safety, we can get very reactive. We can get very superstitious-based and fearful.
That's so true. That's so true. I've seen a lot of that where people are really suspicious and going, oh, and can't walk under a ladder, right? So I want to talk more about that when we come back. You're going to take a quick break. More with Jessica Carroll and myself. And we'll see you in a little bit.
To keep your best friend happy at Button Veterinary Hospital, your veterinarian in Tacoma, Washington, a full-service companion and animal hospital providing quality veterinary care throughout the life of your pet. At Button Vet, they understand the special role your pet plays in your family and are dedicated to becoming your partner in your pet's healthcare. To learn more about Button Vet, Dr. Danielle Jensen, and their other incredible veterinarians, visit buttonvet.com.
Do you want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
Beyond Symptom Management into True Wellness with Jessica Dooley on Purely You Radio. Tune in every third Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific as Jessica guides you to find and embrace your purest self. Not the self that is shown on social media, not the self that is created in your family's eyes, but your purest version of you. Purely You Radio supports true wellness, not just symptom management. For more information about working with Jessica Dooley, visit PurelyYouHealing.com.
The knowledge book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Hey, Kat, I want to say hi.
Hi, Dr. Bree.
How are you?
I am fantastic.
I have a new producer now. Since I come back, I'm going, things have changed. So you ready for this today?
I'm ready if you're ready.
Okay. Do you have any ghosts or spirits around you?
I don't know. I've only ever had one experience.
You know what? I had this experience that I'm going to tell you about, and I'm hoping Teresa can answer this for me. So, sitting in my living room, I have like two front steps to my door, right? One on one section, one on another section. And this one, I kept hearing walking, and my husband would hear it, and the dogs would hear it, and then walk from one side of the step to the other side of the step and walk down. And this repetitively kept happening for like 3 months. Finally, I said, is there any way I can help you? And there was no way for me to help. And all of a sudden it stopped. So Teresa, can you explain that to me? Yeah, because it was really different.
Well, there could be several different things. It's important when we go out that we don't, you know, when we go out to a premise and somebody's telling us, okay, they're hearing this kind of phenomena, that we don't just jump to the conclusion it's a ghost. There could be several things. There might actually be a raccoon on your front porch. It's happened. I had a woman who had a raccoon in her attic, and it sounded like somebody walking with high heel shoes. It was amazing.
Well, with me, you know, I'm intuitive, right? But my husband saw this, and so we have big picture windows. And, you know, with the lace, right? So imagine to the left and then imagine straight forward these steps. And we just watch him walk by and go down the steps. So it was like, huh. So that's when I went out and said, can I help you? And it never happened again.
Well, I would ask you, it's only happened the one time. Was there a special season when it happened?
It happened like for 3 months. And so I would say it was probably, it's more summertime, it happened before fall.
What happens is sometimes, especially in the case of a ghost, that they have something they do, like a young child, it might have been, they were at grandmother's house during the summer months, and this was grandmother's house. If it was around, I had one where there was an uncle who would go every Christmas to his niece and nephew's house, stay with his sister for the holiday season. So he would show up just after Thanksgiving and leave at the first of the year. And it was clockwork. Every year this would occur. So you might have like a young person or a person who came to visit during that period. Mm-hmm. And they may, if it shows up again next year, then you'll know that it's definitely a ghost and that this was something that they did. Maybe every year went to visit someone specific, spent time. If they went away when you said something to them, either they weren't a ghost or it was their time to go anyway, that they would then maybe walk around to the back door and be coming in that way instead of the front door.
Oh, okay.
And on, you'd almost have to have like a little bit of a conversation with them or at least spend a little more time observing. But the fact that your husband heard them as well, that's delightful. Because now when you talk about these things, he'll be a little bit more to give it credibility. So many
times. My husband can't drive past great cemeteries. He sees them all. And so it's like, I'm not walking, driving there. So anyway, so Kat, you never know if you have one walking on your porch, huh?
Well, my husband would say he's never seen a ghost. It's not that he doesn't accept that they exist.
Mm-hmm.
Never been able to. So whenever I say, oh, there's a ghost, he's like, no, don't see it.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So the one thing that you say separate. So I'm reading here on 118 right now. Find a comfortable position in which to stand in center of the area you wish to scream. Explain that a little bit, Tess.
Well, everything in this reality vibrates. Scientists have proven that.
Correct.
It's one of the seven hermetic laws around this reality that everything does vibrate. And because it vibrates, it creates energy flows. We can see it more with weather flows, but there are electromagnetic flows. There are all sorts of different energy flows on our planet and in our reality. And sometimes the energies can cause a disruption or can act staticky or can amplify a situation. We all think about situations where we say somebody has negative energy. In other words, their energy is not comfortable for us. And so we can actually create grids that screen out or minimize the energy flows to keep an area, as we would say, consecrated or in sacred space. So we establish an energy of peace or serenity or focus, and we can lay out grid patterns to do that. So I show how to use copper grids, not only to relocate vortexes, but also to create sacred space for yourself so that you can have more calm and a sense of focus, however you would prefer.
Okay. Wow. Never thought I could do that. That's something new. I'm telling you. Okay, so then, here's another one I want to ask you about. Picture a large awning covering over the top of the post, creating a tent. Secure the edges so it becomes totally enclosed.
Oh, this is a very wonderful way to shield. And this works wonderful if you're an empath, because empaths, like ourselves, it's like, is it live? Is it Memorex? Is this me? Is this you? What am I feeling? Sometimes, like, we don't want to be bombarded by everyone else's feelings. And so creating that space, we can pull all the energy out and then fill it with the energy we want and have a serene space in the middle of conflict. Like, say you worked in a large business, industrial, and there were a lot of crazy things happening and a lot of drama reactive, but you needed to keep quiet and focused. You could grid your space using this to create a serenity and just to draw in people who would be calm and informative and kind of shield out anybody who's in crisis. They would go the next cubicle to down road and
work that. Wow. So the other thing you say is you can use holy water to bless and seal the portals.
Yes.
And so I've used it, but there's different ways that you use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the one thing is I like to tell people, don't call them in. You know how kids love to call them in, right? And use different spirit boards or whatever. You know, you got to be really careful with that. How do you feel about that? Because that's something that I think you're really good about answering.
The Ouija board?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like if we all go to the party and we're all drinking a little bit and we're all, you know, kind of a little more in the ego, and it's like, let's show off, let me show you what I can do, let you know. And someone says, let's bring out the Ouija board and talk to the spirits on the other side. Well, guess what? You're going to invite in another party player who wants a little sensationalism. And that's what you're going to get. They're not going to tell you about Aunt Mary's diary. They're going to be telling you about things that are going to spook you up, make you reactive. They're going to be giving you all sorts of scary information because they're a party player. They want to see what kind of way they can trigger or get a reaction out of you. And so I really suggest that you don't do that, because once you get ideas in your mind, especially crappy ideas, and you haven't experienced that way, then you're fearful and you're not open to more positive experiences. So I really feel like stay away from that. If you want to use a Ouija board, sit down, invite in somebody who's of your vibration or above, who wants to help you learn something that you can validate and to become a nicer, kinder person and with no trauma involved. And you'll find that little by little, you have a source that you can use. You don't need the Ouija board. You have spirit guides and spiritual helpers. And many of us would also refer to them as angelic hosts. And they will help you improve the quality of your life. But you have to sit down and ask and be attentive, because if they're giving you information and you're not receiving it, oh well, they're not going to judge you for that. But why take your own time or theirs if you're not going to incorporate it?
Right. Hey, we have a caller. Karina from California.
Woohoo!
I'm telling you. Hi, Karina, are you there? Karina? Huh. Karina. Well,
Hello?
Hi there, Karina. This is Dr. Ray.
Yes, hi. I had a question. My godmother passed away yesterday, and I've been, like, feeling her very close for some reason today. Like, I've been having, like, the shivers. Well, not shivers, but goosebumps all day. And, like, when I, remember, I haven't seen her in about a year, but when I, like, you know, think about her, it's something that's, like, wow, like, I feel like I saw her, like, very recent, you know, and I'm just wondering, like, is it too, like, is she, you know, is she okay? Is she in the light? I mean, I feel so... I don't know. I don't even know if this is the right question for the show. I got it.
Oh, you're doing fine. You're doing fine. Teresa, want to answer that for her?
Yeah. Well, first of all, big hugs. We always like to have people close to us, but check-in is what almost every person does when they pass over to the other side. They go and visit the people they love the most. They normally touch them and try to give them a spiritual message of some sort. And it sounds very strongly that, one, she's made a fabulous transition. Everything's safe and sound because she can touch you. And two, that she's just letting you know that she really loves you and she'll stay close. She'll stay connected. All you have to do is say her name from time to time and she'll be right there with you. And she'll probably check in from time to time and give you other signs. But check in after passing normally happens with those closest. Many people will wake up in the night and feel like someone's sitting on their bed. Someone will say they had a dream and then they go to the hospital and find the person has passed away.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for that. Yeah, but I felt very, like, sad, but then at the same time, it was like, she's still there, very close for some reason, and we were close, but we didn't live very close to each other, so we didn't see each other that often. And at the end, like, I didn't return her call. It was the last time she called me, and I feel so guilty. And I know that's all a part of the whole grieving process. And it's just like, wow. I mean, I know, they don't hold grudges or anything, but
It was just one of those things. Thank you so much.
She'll come and see you, so look for that. But in the meantime, do your grief work, because it does hurt, and you do need to pass through that, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
That was a great call there. It gave me some ideas to ask you a couple questions. It's like, wow, I can ask some questions now. Okay, so as our loved ones have passed over, and we know a lot of them that have transitioned over, that just come and check on us. And I love it when my husband comes and says, or I found my desk pulled out and the cat bed pulled out and going, okay, mom's visiting your cat. And I love it because you have that smell, right? But when you see the chair pulled out and the cat bed completely pulled out, you know, it's just a given. Does that happen very often in your work? Do you see that?
Well, I would say in my work, people report that a lot, whether I see it or not. Sometimes I don't see it as much as I'd like to, but I hear about it a lot. And when I'm talking to people, normally everyone who has lost a loved one in time is able to say they know they are connected. There's no doubt in their mind. Experiences. So yes, I would say it's very prevalent for people who have lost loved ones. When I go in to do the ghost busting, normally I'm not looking for that kind of phenomena.
Right.
And it's amazing. Some people will say, I know Uncle Charlie does this. I'm not worried about him. There's this other phenomenon that I'm
right. No, that was a one-time thing. And I told her, please don't do that to me again. Please don't put the cat back, the chair back, and the bed back underneath the desk. Please don't do that to me again in the mornings. So anyway, so talk about ghost busting. I have some real problems with that. And it's not the way you do it, probably. But when you know those shows you watch on TV and they can, you know, just really go after them, make them mad, the whole bit, just to get some type of reaction from them, to show people, you know, on the air, they've done this, right? And they make the spirit angry. What happens after that? Because I know what I would do, okay? And I'm not gonna make a spirit angry at me, okay? So that's the whole thing. But they go and they do these Ghostbusters shows on reality TV. And so, but they make them so angry to make a point. And then they're scared, of course. Well, they deserve to be scared. I'm sorry, but some of them deserve it, right? And I'm going, okay, some of it's fake, I know, but some of it's real, though, I've seen. So when you have an angry spirit, I won't say it that way, out of respect, an angry spirit that has been tortured in some form, earthbound, whatever, and then make it worse for them. How does someone like you come in with your team and help this spirit to go forward?
Well, the first thing is you have to look at it as if you're dealing with another human being, of course, an animal. And normally people that are having these phenomena in their house can pretty much tell if it's a human being or an animal, or I don't know what it is. And I would like to qualify that there's so many different things. There's earth spirits, there's vortexes, there's entity attachments, there's thought forms, there's dimensional beings, which we won't even go to that level at this point.
Right.
So the first thing is if it's been antagonized, if it's an earth spirit and you've got a fire spirit, you're going to have fires. Boy, are you going to have fires. If you've got an angry water spirit, you are going to have broken pipes, a leaky roof. You're going to have a lot of stuff. So when someone goes in there and antagonizes it, it's kind of like you open Pandora's box. You're looking for things that will often make somebody actually move out of their home and say, this is too much. I don't know what it is. I can't deal with it. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame that people could be so compromised by the behavior of other people who are in for the high of the spiritual high, so to speak, of whoa. On the television programs, it's sensationalism. They're just trying to get something recorded to prove to the public that there's something there. And let's face it, you get more of a reaction with acid than you do with honey, you know.
Right, right.
People respond. So when you go in afterwards, often it's kind of like they go in, they validate, yep, you've got something here. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's a demon. And off they go. It's mm-hmm. not a demon. The chance of encountering a demon is very rare, but
correct.
I don't think most people will ever encounter a demon in their life. But here now you've got a homeowner or a property owner who's horrified. It's like, oh my God, they can't sleep. They don't know what to do. They don't want to push their problem off onto someone else, and yet they got to get out of there. So I go in, and what I do is I use respect. It's kind of like, if somebody's just disrespected you, I will have a conversation and say, whoa, that was uncalled for. Gosh, what do we need to do about this? And normally, if I can get in there and figure out what's going on, if it's a ghost, we can send it onto the light, and that mm-hmm. resolves the problem. If it's a nature spirit of some sort, we can begin to create some sort of rapport between the owner of the property and the earth spirit, because you're not moving that earth spirit out of there.
No.
So that there's some sort of symbiotic relationship that makes a happy home for everyone. Mm-hmm. And so I just look at what needs to really happen, and I kind of try to be calm and gentle and informative, and then do what needs to happen in the moment.
Well, you were just talking about earth spirits and the pranks, and often skinny or sparkly items disappear. That is too funny. I'm sorry. It is funny because it's happened to a lot of us, right? And we think that we left our earrings here or our keys there, different things, and we find that electronics quickly drain. I constantly, the phone.
That's often a vortex if you've got electronics draining.
Uh-huh.
It can be spiritual activity, but it's very highly, it could be a vortex between friendships.
Oh, wow.
And I think the best way to clarify a vortex is that as above, so below is a basic hermetic belief. And basically, we live in a macrocosm of a microcosm, or a microcosm mm-hmm. of a macrocosm. And so if you take something you're familiar with, like the human body, and you look at it, has approximately 15 systems, the muscular system, the cardiovascular system, the nervous system. All of the one form. Well, in our reality, we coexist with other dimensions, and scientists have proved this. And so the doorways or the passageways, just like there's a blood barrier that takes oxygen into the bloodstream, and then from the bloodstream passes it into the organs or the other systems, and then retrieves the carbon dioxide, waste materials, and moves it to different places, kidney, liver. That same process happens on this physical reality, where there are things coming into our reality and passing out of our reality all the time. And they come through doorways that we call vortexes. Some people call them gateways. But they're basically places that you can go to Sedona, you can go to Hawaii, you can go many places, and you can hear sounds, you can smell things, you can actually see these shimmers of light come in and out. You can see the vibration like heat rising off the concrete, and it could be 3 feet in the air, or it could be up by the ceiling and there's nothing to generate it. And that's a vortex. It's an interdimensional passageway for part of the system that we're part of, the complete reality we're part of. We just get kind of tunnel vision and think, just like good old early explorers, the world is flat and we're going to fall off if we get to the edge. The world is multidimensional.
Correct.
When we can grasp that, then we begin to get an idea of what the spirit realms are, because they're not strange, eerie places. They're literally other aspects of the reality in which we live in, but they are on a different vibrational rate.
Right. So animals live in a higher dimension than we do spiritually. And that's my belief, at least. And, you know, so we have we're in a holographic world, you know, and so we could have the parallel world on the side of us also.
Yeah.
And so they can come in any of those ways, correct?
That's correct. There's so many different ways to look at this. And so far, scientists haven't done enough research to really clarify or quantify it. But basically, you see it, I see it, and we try to communicate it in a way that people can grasp it. But I'm sure it's more complex and more simple. You know, it's like we are trying to understand something that no one has gone before us and said, this is what we're looking at. The old example of the early American Indians seeing a ship with masts on the horizon, that they mm-hmm. didn't see it because it wasn't something they could relate to. And little by little, they would get parts of it and have to kind of piece it together. I think we're at that early explorer stage with the spiritual realm still, that many of us can see what comes through and everything, but we haven't got enough common language and common understanding to get the big picture. We have the parts of the picture. So vortexes are a major occurrence that cause a lot of the activity, and they do draw spirits and phenomena through with them. The other thing is magnetic pulse or electrical pulses happen, and it's amazing. You can register them, and what brings them through? Often they come through a vortex. But the items disappearing, that can also fairy life, you know, the fairy.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if to blame the fairies or my little friend in the attic right now. Or the gnomes, you know, all the elementals.
Fairies love bling. Bling, bling.
They do.
And I normally put out a little tray and put my little broken pieces of jewelry, my little mm-hmm. bits and pieces of rhinestones just falling off of things, and they disappear. Sometimes my plants will just be incredibly beautiful and bloom for months and months, and people say, how did you get that orchid to bloom so much? And it's like, oh, I gave the fairies some bling, and they've been taking care of my plants now. So
that's great. That's great. I want to talk more about fairies when we come back. We're going to take a short break, and with your scare myself, and we'll back a little bit.
Your best friend happy at Button Veterinary Hospital, your veterinarian in Tacoma, Washington, a full-service companion and animal hospital providing quality veterinary care throughout the life of your pet. At Button Vet, they understand the special role your pet plays in your family and are dedicated to becoming your partner in your pet's healthcare. To learn more about Button Vet, Dr. Danielle Jensen, and their other incredible veterinarians, visit buttonvet.com.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
The earth is an ever-changing being. Goddess Light shamanic healer Bree Gibbs guides us through the ascending worlds, bringing forth knowledge and truth. As a light creator, she is here to provide new information needed at this time in our evolution. Join Bree as she shared messages from guides, spirits, ascended masters, goddesses, and others. Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific for the Dr. Bree Show, The Goddess Emergence, and live the authentic life.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Dr. Bree. So, Teresa, I have a question for you. This is so much fun. A pet will hiss or attempt to catch an elemental.
Yes, yes. It's interesting. They see them as another animal life form.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really understood fully what they are. They seem to be part of the earth plane. They seem mm-hmm. this dimensional, and they seem to be integrated somehow with our planet. But they have consciousness, but they're more like the elementals will be earth, air, fire, and water. They seem mm-hmm. to have more substance that relates to a particular form. You know, a lot of people have theories. I don't know that scientists or anyone who really comprehends fully knows what they are, but we all know of Pele, who's the goddess of volcanoes over there in Hawaii.
Right.
And we've all heard of water sprites, water nymphs, and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have actually seen mermaids and different mm-hmm. fauna. Mm-hmm. They exist, but what they are specifically, I don't know. They may be more physical than they are spiritual. Some of them appear almost etheric, and other of them seem to be more solid base, like the trolls and the gnomes. You can actually see them. The leprechauns, I've found, are interdimensional. They use gold and other high-level metals to open a vortex so they can pass between dimensions.
Right.
So, but like your fire, I had this situation out in Orting, Washington, where there were just little spontaneous combustions, fires starting all the time. And it was a small elemental, and it wanted to play.
Right.
And
right.
So creating a fire pit and inviting it in once a week to burn in the fire pit made it happy. They stopped having major fires. But it was fabulous when the fire was burning. You'd see faces and you'd see forms, you'd hear speaking and chanting. It was almost surrealistic. So I can understand why people sometimes have myths about demonology and crazy stuff, because how do you interpret this? How do you name it? How do you label it when it really hasn't been classified or qualified in the past?
Well, I think that each one of us have a different gifts and abilities. And I know I have fairies in my house, outside my house. I have them in the healing, in the center here. We have them everywhere, all elementals, right? And I'll just come in and say good morning to them and good night and see you in a couple of days or whatever. But I know for a fact they love to mess with my big dog at night, in the middle of the night, 2, 3 o'clock, right? they love waking him up, get him out of bed, and he just turned a year old, an old English bulldog, right? And he goes flying after them. I'm going, okay, leave the dog alone now. This is enough, after a week of it, right? And I finally said, this is enough. You can't be messing with the dog no more. Do it during the day. When I'm away, right?
But you hit on something very important. There's certain hours in the evening that different life forms are more active. You know, like if you look at nature, you'll see there's hunters that go out, predators that go out at night and hunt. Well, some of the fairy kin and such, they love the nighttime. It's almost that's when they do their fairy circles. You'll see bright, snappy lights. I had a situation where I thought I was seeing UFOs, and it ended up being fairy lights. I just needed glasses. They look like, you know, big buzzy things, but what they were little fairy lights dancing, lighting around. You know, if they're part of our reality, you can tell if they're around. You'll have a leaf on a tree or something that the whole plant will hold still, and one will be flipping and flopping. They're trying to get your attention. They're trying to look at them. I have wind chimes around my place. There won't be a breeze of air, and the thing will be bang, 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 bang. And then the next one, it's like they hop from one to another all the way around the building, and they come back around the other way. And it's like a game to them to see if you notice, if you pay attention. And what's wonderful is the more that you actually talk to them, don't scare them, and don't say obnoxious things to them. It just annoys me when people start screaming at others, even family or spirits. But just talk to them. It's interesting. You can actually ask them to help you with your garden, to wake you up in the morning. I wake up every morning, one wind chime goes off at exactly 6:30 every morning. That wind chime will go ting, 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 ting. And I can go out there and hit that thing, strike it, and it won't do the ting, ting, ting. It'll make a sound. I've got a wind chime in my office where there's no breeze at all, and yet they'll go to it and knock it, and I'll hear it ringing. And it's like, come in here, we want to show you something. And I've always got flowers blooming everywhere I go because the fairies take care of them for me.
Right. I have mine taking care of them outside because inside, forget it. I can't do it. And I'm going, okay, the cat won't leave me alone. The dog won't leave me alone. It's like, okay, outside, please. And so this last year, I was finally able to grow some roses and different things that I do not take care of my flowers for me this year. Please take care of them through the winter. But, you know, the one thing that people need to understand that the fairies and the mermaids and everything are in different dimensions, but yet they're accessible. And be kind to them. Please be kind to them. I was lucky enough to be able to meet some of the mermaids in the Pacific Northwest here. And, you know, it's so people, the scientists have to stay away from them now, which I'm very thankful for, and they're being protected. And, you know, and the fairies, all they want is love. You know, all I want is love, that song, right? That's all they want. And they want it, and they love playing games and give them some trinkets, some silver or chocolate they like. I mean, they love sweet things. They used to get peppermints and, you know, the ones you can get peppermints at Gem Wrap, right? I put them in a bag and I would chop them all up and stuff, right, with a hammer and throw them in different places of the yard and stuff and let them have a ball. You know, the other thing that they could do with fairies also is throw out some shiny stuff out in your yard. You know, just let them have fun.
Sugar high.
Well,
they also appreciate, you know, toothpaste caps and little things like that because they use them. They can actually haul water with the top of a can lid or something, or they can use little tops off bottles for plates.
Right.
And they like that kind of stuff. So things like that will disappear naturally because I think they use socks out of the dryer as sleeping bags.
That's why my husband is missing so many socks. I'm getting tired of replacing socks.
Yeah, well, just what I do is I just put them in a pile and they just disappear. I don't have to lose them in the drawer.
I'm going to have a talk with him because it's getting expensive. I'll buy a bunch of little kid socks and give it to him.
We'll have to take you down to the Goodwill. You buy a whole pile of socks.
I'm telling you. Here's some used socks for you guys. Have fun. You know, Teresa, I want to thank you for coming today. This is amazing, amazing book that you wrote. It taught me some things that I have not even thought of, you know, it says like another reason that I use a clipboard. I mean, that's just, we have to be out there pursuing, but this, the clipboard is great. It was a great thing for me to even read that, you know, and I want to thank you. You're doing a great job by enlightening people on how to respect spirits and ghosts. And that's what why I wanted to show, because it's not about the hoop and holler and what you get out of them. It's what you give to them. Yeah. That's my opinion, at least.
Thank you.
So I'd really like to thank you. So thank you for being with us today. Next week, I will have on the show Gregory Paul Martin. And it's going to be an amazing show. Let's watch it. And we'll see you all next week on the Dr. Greg Gibbs Show.
You've been listening to the Dr. Bree Show, The Goddess Emergence. Join Dr. Bree Gibbs Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Each show is designed to share and discuss timely key messages and truths. Dr. Bree brings forth gods and goddesses, ascended masters, and other communication our world needs. For more about Dr. Bree or The Goddess Emergence, visit www.drbreegibbs.com. That's www.drbreegibbs.com. And we'll see you next time.